What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Stochastic NFL NHA strategy show for wild card weekend Monday Night Football. This should be a good one, man. Dallas at Tampa Bay, 45.5 point total, and it could be Tom Brady's last game. We've had an awesome wild card weekend already. We close it out with this NFC battle, a week one rematch. And here to break it down with me is Jeff Ulrich. Follow him at The Fantasy Grind. What's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Ready for tonight. I mean, this is the game. Yeah, weirdly enough, you mentioned it. I've kind of been looking forward to this one. I think there's a lot of interesting factors in play here. So one of the games I've been looking forward to tonight, glad it's on kind of the island game. This there's potential for this to be terrible too. I mean, you know, if we get like a lot of Tampa games have been bad, but should still be interesting. We got obviously the Cowboys are involved, so something crazy will happen. And then, like you said, I mean, you know, look, we got the GOAT, and this could be it for him, or it could just be another playoff win. Who knows?
That's actually where I'm going, by the way. Also, my name's Matt Savoca, at Draftaholic on the Twitters. If you want to follow me, you know, those things, hit the like button, subscribe button. It helps us out a lot. But what's more important here is this final game, possibly in the career of Tom Brady. I don't think so. If my bold take today is that this is a turn back the clock performance in the passing game for Tom Brady. Now, our tools over at stochastic.com have a ton of options, and a lot of the unders are looking good in our projections over at Stochastic. But I still think this is a very, very interesting slate, as you said. So let's break this one down for a few moments. The Cowboys are favored. 23.75 point total implied via Vegas. The Bucks at home implied for 20.75. I actually think this should be flipped. I don't know if I'm just using the name brand of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the, dare I say, name brand of the choking Dallas Cowboys, but it's hard for me to see Dallas as a 2.5 point road favorite against the GOAT, even if it has been a little bit more of a struggle this season offensively than we thought it would be for Tampa.
This game feels a lot like the Giants and Vikings, which, again, as we found out, the line should have been flipped. And it's not, I'm not as, like, I have my doubts that this game will turn out the same. But I'm not, at the same time, I'm not confident that, like, I'm not betting the Cowboys. If you said, Jeff, what line are you going to bet? I would bet it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to do player props. I think that the Cowboys down the stretch, they really suffered with injuries. They were a bit of a different team. But I think if you look at the sum of these teams and their parts and all that stuff and the big picture, if Dallas plays at its top level, they should win this game and perhaps easily. So that is it. But again, we're talking about a Mike McCarthy-led team. We are talking about a team that's down its top two corners. Like, I'm not – that's what I'm saying. I'm not confident to bet that that's going to happen. I just look at this and I say – there's a gap between these two teams. And I think Dallas is the better team, but my God, like, they haven't shown it for like 5 weeks. So I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of variables. I think you're absolutely fine to be betting on Brady as well. Like I said, I'm not confident on either way. So I could see that the line could be flipped easily, but really interesting. I think from a lot of factors for that reason alone, I think Brady is in a good spot because those corners for Dallas have been terrible. And I think that you could see a bit of a shootout. I mentioned that, you know, this game has stinker potential, but like, I think you'll see the opposite. Again, if I'm predicting ranges of this game, I think that you're going to see offense because I think Dallas will be able to move the ball as well with Schultz and CeeDee Lamb out there. So I think you could get a higher scoring game. That's the way I'm feeling. And I still think Dallas is a better team, but my God, like, yeah, you don't have to bet on them either.
And this vacillation that you're kind of talking about between the possibility of a sludge fest and the possibility of a shootout, I think that's warranted here. I think, you know, every NFL game has a huge range of outcomes, but particularly here where some advanced metrics have Dallas as a top five defense against the run and pass. If you're looking at Football Outsiders DVOA, yet this is a team that gave up 26 points to Washington a week ago in a 26-6 loss, gave up 40 points to Jacksonville. And then the week after that in week 16 scored 40 points against a Philadelphia Eagles team in arguably their most impressive win of the season.
And they gave up 37 points to Gardner Minshew that week. Right, Matt? So, I mean, yeah. Like, their defense has been, it just hasn't been the same. They're not getting the same pressure. Their corners have been far worse since the injuries. So I get that the metrics are still saying that, but I think some of that is just based on early season performance too, which again, scares me enough to lay off them. So anyways.
And if we look at those same metrics for Tom Brady and company, their pass offense made it to the middle. Congratulations, guys. We were expecting much bigger things. 11th in Football Outsiders pass DVOA, and no one really needs to tell you that the Buccaneers' rushing offense was an unimpressive facet of their football team this year. They were 32nd in yards per carry. Now, really, this is going to come down to the opposing passing games, as many NFL games do. The Buccaneers' pass defense has been pretty good as well. 15th in Football Outsiders DVOA. That's not the same as the Cowboys, who are ranked third. I think this really comes down to, can Dak Prescott execute the way that this team is capable of doing? But ultimately, if you're asking me which way I'm betting on the spread, I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's dig into the NHA strategy, though. We'll start with the quarterbacks here. And, you know, there are some reasonable bets, but one of the ones that sticks out to me, this Tom Brady under 2.5 passing touchdowns. Again, we could have a decent yardage game. We could have two passing touchdowns and still have this hit. Right now, that's the third best prop bet on NHA in our stochastic NHA tool right now on the site.
Yeah, and one thing to note about this game too, and you kind of mentioned this, like, we do have some projected unders, but I would say that the probabilities are far, like, you know, they're much narrower than we've seen in the last couple games. So I don't think that, like, taking the opposite side of some of these is necessarily a bad idea. And I think that, like, stacking, you know, like some overs with Brady and receivers are fine. But one of the ones that is projecting with over 70% probability is one you just brought up with the under passing touchdowns. The Dallas Cowboys still a very good red zone defense. And so they've been allowing more yardage and a few more touchdowns to the wide receivers for sure. But I still think, like, that has been an area of concern for the Bucs too. Just getting that ball in the end zone, man. Like, they, again, just something that just hasn't been working nearly as well in the past this year as it has in the past. So yeah, 2.5 passing touchdowns. You always get, you know, if they get on the one, you know, Brady's probably a sneak it in. You know, there's all these factors. So yeah, I like the under here as well. This is one of the ones where, again, I wouldn't mess too much with it. If you want to get really contrarian, I guess, and play for, like, some kind of crazy game, you might make an over on, like, a low point play to be contrarian. But this will be a popular under, admittedly. But it's one of the ones I'm fine with. Like I said, I think there's a lot of ways you can get different with some of these other ones. But this one, yeah, it's over 70%, and I think you just roll with it.
So, as you said, a 70% win probability in our simulations is no joke. As far as football goes, that's as close to guaranteed as you can sometimes get.
Yeah.
He's averaged 1.47 touchdowns per game. That is not particularly close to 2.5. And remember, you got to get to 3 in order for it to truly hurt you. But I think Tom Brady over 2.5 passing touchdowns is a really interesting start to a super contrarian lineup. I'm not saying that that is what the math says, but we know that Tampa Bay's offense has a higher ceiling than maybe some math-based range of outcomes might show us if we just ran the numbers. We know a little bit more. There's a little bit more nuance when you have players like Brady and Evans and Godwin and a healthier offensive line. It looks like they may have Ryan Jensen back tonight. This team still has ceiling potential, and so while I'm not going to tell you to deviate fully from the tools, I do think you can create a really interesting narrative where Tom Brady throws 3 or 4 touchdowns, and then suddenly you can get to some of the mid-tier bets that, you know, we're right on the line of, and just have ones that kind of correlate with your highest confident contrarian plays. With Dak Prescott, his line is sitting at 249.5 yards and a more modest 1.5 touchdown. But one thing that really intrigues me, what about this 0.5 passing interceptions? We have that up there in the top 7, I believe, in terms of top props on NHA right now. I just think that the Bucs may be able to force him into at least one mistake. And as you said, these Dallas corners are not ones I really want to trust at the moment. Is that a crazy idea?
No, I mean, it's not necessarily. I mean, Dak's been, you know, obviously the last game, not great, but even just down the stretch, you know, I mean, his interception rate went up as the season went on. So, you know, I'm not shocked that we have this projected where it is. The Tampa Bay's, I think Tampa's going to give up some yards to, like I said, CeeDee Lamb, but it's still a pretty solid secondary. Like, it's not, they still get some pressure as well. So we're not talking about, like, a bottom 5, like, pass defense or something where it's a massive hole. Yeah, I, you know, with the way Dax played and just with it being the Cowboys, I mean, the interception props, it's pretty strong. And I mean, again, like I maybe this one's a little bit highly owned, and you know, you think about it as a contrarian standpoint, but it feels like if you're going to take the under on the Dak passing interceptions, you might be playing for more of like a boring style Cowboys win where, you know, they get out in front. Brady is the Tampa Bay offense is just what it was all season, which is it's its most ineffective self. And they just don't do much. And, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, Dak just doesn't have to throw much, I guess is what I'm getting to. So I think that kind of, if you're going to play the under, that's the kind of game, it basically the exact opposite of the game you were just talking about. But I think that the over is a stronger play. And again, that's the one I would side with for sure. I do agree with you. Like, I think that Tampa will get something going in this game. I think that they are getting healthier. I think that their O-line has been a part of it. If they get Jensen back, that's a great point to bring up. And I just think they've just looked a touch better, just a touch more confident. So I think that the over on Dak is probably one to ride with for sure tonight.
And I realized I started talking quarterbacks. I started talking prop strategy before telling you guys, if you're new to NHA or you're thinking about checking it out over there, first of all, now's a great time to do it. They've got awesome contests. They have overlay available in a way that just other major platforms just don't have right now. They have an incredibly user-friendly and intuitive site. They have multiple sports. And if you click the link in the video description below, you get up to a $100 first match deposit bonus when you sign up. And they've got two awesome ways to play. Now, the main strategy we talk about on these half-hour shows is the Pick'em contest, because that's how you win the big money, the big prizes. But they also have the versus the house mode, where you can get up to 21x your entry fee if you hit all of your picks. You bet up to 5 player props, the over or the under. And what's really cool about this new versus the house mode that they introduced is that there's even more players available. In the Pick'em contest, we have multiple props per player usually, but there's only 12 total players, the core players in the game, to choose from. So there are just so many options, so many ways to play, mix and match sports as well. NFL, MLB, NBA, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up now with the link in the video description below. You're going to like it over there a lot. These quarterbacks, they have a ton of interesting props. But I think we mentioned the top ones for us. Are there any down the board, like sort of in this mid-tier in the 50 to 60% probability range, that you might have ranked a little bit higher? Then we'll move on to the wide receivers and tight ends.
Yeah, no, for sure. The Brady passing interception, I mean, he is going up against a pretty opportunistic defense. So again, I mean, like, I don't think that like taking it over there is a terrible idea either. I mean, he obviously, like, quarterbacks can still, you know, like, they throw an interception, it's actually usually good for their passing, you know, upside as well, because the game goes a little bit quicker. They get put in a more of a hurry up situation late in games. So you could think about pairing that with like an over on Brady. I mean, I've seen some pretty low projections on Brady this week, and like, I get it, but I mean, this Dallas secondary is just not the same. So yeah, there seems to be a lot of you know, room here for different outcomes, but I would probably lean towards, you know, the overside. It really just comes down to build in this game. I mean, obviously, I don't think that we have as many props as, you know, you're just going to be like taking a stand on and being like one side or the other in this one, but especially on the quarterbacks. I think that the Dak under is fairly reasonable. You know, even if
the
this
yardage
game,
one or
yeah, sorry, the okay. yardage. Yeah. I should yeah. have said, yeah, specifically the yardage. I think it's pretty reasonable. I mean, he could certainly go over this, but, you know, Dallas runs the ball when they're behind, when they're ahead. They've got Tony Pollard. If they're breaking off some big plays, I mean, it certainly could come in the rush game. I just don't think that probability is there for the Bucs. So, you know, Dak unders can hit, and I think in a variety of situations, if you're going to play it, you know, the under for Dak, I mean, it would be more of a lower point play for me, but it's a pretty strong projection, 62.5% for us. And that's one that I like it a little bit more than, let's say, the Brady under passing yards. Let's put it that way.
I like that too, to be honest, because he had a stretch, Prescott, where between week 8 and 12, he hit over this prop line in every single game, 250, 265, 276, 261. Since that point, he's only hit it 3 times since week 12. And he's had a couple way under. If you look at the year-long averages, he averages 9 yards less extend this prop line. So if you're just using base rates, this Dak Prescott under does look like a really, really solid bet. We move on to the wide receivers and tight ends, though, because we actually have a ton of interesting options, like players who, with one or two catches, one big catch could break their yardage totals. Players like Russell Gage at just 28.5 yards, K-Dot at 25.5 yards. But let's start at the top. Let's go to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Evans is at 72.5 yards as a prop line with 5.5 catches. And Godwin is at 70.5 yards as a prop line with 5.5 catches as well. Are there any that really stand out to you over or under for those two top Tampa Bay options?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd be pretty comfortable just taking the overs on Chris Godwin across the board tonight. You know, you look at what Dallas does just in terms of slot coverage, not as solid there. Allowing more receptions there quite a bit than to the outside receiver. I think Godwin's going to be very vital in the attack tonight. We're going up against a really good rush defense in terms of DVOA. Does Godwin's overs become like super popular? I don't even know if they're going to be super popular. I mean, like we have a line here at 70.5 that's bigger than like he opened at. I don't know what his prop is at today. If it's moved, it could have moved up, but it's still pretty big, like 5.5 receptions. I feel like that'll probably be popular as an over, but I don't think it's going to be like straight across the board either. So Evans, again, we have, there's only a couple props that we have projected into the 70 percentile range, but Evans under 5.5 receptions is one of them. And I like that quite a bit. I think that the Cowboys, a couple things, they still have a solid pass rush. It's gone down a bit, but I think that's going to lead to Brady getting the ball out quicker. And that's going to be less downfield targets for Mike Evans, more for Godwin, and more for a guy you already mentioned, actually, potentially in Russell Gage too. I'm interested in that number. I think that could be a good one to throw in with a Brady stack as a lower point play to the over.
Yeah, and look, if you're just comparing the usage for Evans and Godwin right. averaged 6.9 receptions, very nice, versus Mike Evans at 5.1. And yes, while the yardage per game was a little bit better for Evans, we recognize that Evans is more of a big play guy. Just that 5.5 receptions number looks really, really enticing when you're talking about a player who averages nearly seven catches per game. I do think that is going to be popular. It's still just in the mid-tier. I actually like, if I'm going to go against the tools for one Tampa Bay receivers, it would be Chris Godwin over 70.5 receiving yards. He averaged over 68 per game during the regular season. I think there are going to be moments where the defense shades towards Mike Evans trying to stop the big play. And one very simple contrarian way to play this is Chris Godwin gets available over the top instead of Evans. That's way one way I'm looking at it. And then if we go over to the Cowboys side, CeeDee Lamb is sitting there with a lofty 78.5 yard prop total. And he's also at 5.5 receptions on his prop line. So unders are also looking quite good for him. Obviously, he could break this. But I think if you're just going to base things off our tools, CeeDee Lamb unders look like pretty high quality, high confidence bets.
Yeah, for sure. Lamb is interesting because I almost wish they would have put this a couple yards lower, because I think it would have made a good contrarian under at that point. At 78.5, I wonder what the field would be like on this. I mean, it's a big total, but, you know, it's CeeDee Lamb. It's like, you know, the top receiver in the game, kind of. He's on the Cowboys, obviously. So I think most people will be wanting to take the overs there, but I'm kind of in agreement with you. And like, let's not forget, I mean, the Cowboys, they have pretty much everyone healthy now. Like, one player I do like in this game, and maybe it's more of like a touchdown thing, but I mean, I think like yards and receptions is there too. Dalton Schultz, seven catches against Tampa in week one, 9 targets. He's really come on as the year's gone on. And Tampa's coverage against tight ends is just like, it's bad. You look back at some of these tight ends they've been allowing like 30 yards and a touchdown to, like Tommy Tremble, Michael Pruitt. I mean, These are not high volume, high usage tight ends. I mean, Schultz is legitimately like the number two leader here in target, like team target share over the last few weeks for the Cowboys. He's looked good. Maybe a contrarian play is to go under on Lamb and over on the Schultz, numbers here. But I like Dalton Schultz tonight. That would be one I would be okay going against the projections with. He's kind of in the same area as Lamb in terms of projections, but to the under. But I just think that, you know, his numbers are attainable. And, you know, again, you don't have to, you've got to think a little bit about strategy. Obviously, it's like a DFS style contest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to be on the field at everything. We just have, you know, 50% on props. And if we do hit, we'll just be winning like $5. So, yeah, I think that how you split the Dallas Cowboys receivers is going to, you know, be interesting tonight.
I really wish this Schultz line was at 3.5 receptions because yeah. It would be a smash over for me. Averaging 3.8 a game, I like the narrative you built, especially if you're going with a CeeDee Lamb under. That makes a lot of sense to me. There is some range of outcomes in here. And how dare you slander Tommy Tremble and Michael Pruitt's name like that? Just absolute. These people have families, just eviscerating them over here. No, you're absolutely right. Like these are not high name brand players at the tight end.
Your dad probably doesn't know who they are. Let's put it that way.
it's the truth. And I guess kind of there are two kind of tertiary options we have to choose from in the pick'em contest as well. On the Cowboys, Noah Brown sitting there at 32.5, just needs 3 receptions in order to go over. Any interest there or with Michael Gallup at 38.5, 2.5 receptions?
Yeah, Gallup to me is he feels like a bit of a trap, but he's a frustrating guy. He looks so good at times, and then other times he'll get 4 or 5 targets and like 2 of them will just be like he was running the wrong route or something. I would be more inclined to go with Brown. I think he's been like slightly more consistent. He's kind of been an option all year for Dak. I think the 2.5 again, you know, it's reasonable. It's projected as an under, but a lot of these numbers that we're talking about, like it, I mean, you know, we haven't projected for 2 catches. He's at 2.5. We're talking about 1 catch here. Like it can certainly happen, especially if you're, you know, you think that the Bucs are just being a little bit underrated here and they're going to put up some points. This would not be a hard line for him to get to. So it's very attainable. I don't think that, like, you know, many people will be thinking about using Noah Brown over as a higher point or even a midpoint play. So yeah, I'd be more inclined to go with Brown personally than Gallup. I think if you're taking Gallup too, maybe look to take the over on the yards than the receptions. He's definitely capable of like a 40-yard play. And realistically, if he's a factor in this game, that's probably how it's going to happen. So that's kind of how I'd be looking at those two receivers.
We are in lockstep here because Noah Brown, in a rare occurrence here, has averaged more receiving yards than his prop line. And just compared to Michael Gallup, he has more catches per game and the exact same targets per game. Now, I know there's fluctuation, especially with Gallup getting more and more involved as the season went on, but I agree with you. The snap share has been similar. The big playability, I think, for Noah Brown is actually a little bit higher, averaging 37 yards per game with that prop line sitting there at 32.5 yards. If you had a favorite wide receiver or tight end bet to be at the highest confidence, that number 7 slot, where would you go?
So for a tight end?
A wide receiver or tight end.
Oh, wide receiver or tight end. Sorry. Okay. So for a number 7, I mean, I like Russell Gage. Like I like the Russell Gage over. I mean, okay. I would play that. I mean, again, like I think that one factor you're going to see in this game, and this maybe I'll even make it a double play. I'll say play the Russell Gage over and the Mike Evans under on the receptions. I think that you're going to see Brady getting the ball out extremely quick in this game. I think that Gage will probably get worked in a little bit. And you know, he's a complete slot receiver. And I think that he'll get there on receptions. Maybe it won't be like, you know, whether he gets like a 30-yard reception or not, I don't know, but I think that the targets will be there for him. You know, would not be shocked to see him push for 5 or 6. And I think that'll get him over. So I like that one quite a bit. I know we just talked about the Dallas Cowboys receivers, but I feel like their props are more volatile. I think this is actually a very good spot for Russell Gage. That's probably, yeah, especially if we're talking like lower points here or just guys who are, you know, not obviously not the primary receivers. That'd be my favorite one.
I like that a lot. Now, you might be wondering why we only have a few minutes left in the show and we haven't talked about 2 convoluted backfields. And if you are playing the versus the house mode, you have more options than this. But one thing that's really interesting is, unless I'm mistaken, Ezekiel Elliott is not on the board for the pick'em contest. And the same goes for Rashad White of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which means we only have 2 running backs in these highest upside contests, in the pick'em contest, and they only have rushing yards props. We're talking about Tony Pollard, the most electric running back in this matchup for sure, with a prop line of 57.5 yards. Let's start there. Look, this duo of Elliott and Pollard, say what you want about them, they averaged over 105 yards per game on the ground alone. Pollard's up there at over 60 per game, so the inkling is to take the over on this Pollard rushing yards bet. What say you?
And yeah, this one is, I really don't like betting against Tony Pollard, but no one's going to like betting against Tony Pollard. And, 57.5, we have him projected for 51.1 yards. I mean, I think people are going to look at the Bucs and they're going to look at, oh, they gave up 135 yards last week. They gave Christian McCaffrey ran against them. It's still pretty good rush defense. They're still rated pretty good in terms of, DVOA, a couple different stats. And the thing that you have to think about here, like the Cowboys, just they have an Ezekiel Elliott addiction, like they do. And it's going to come through. And Pollard is one of those backs who, he could get his in the passing game. And if Dallas gets behind, he'll probably be used more in that regard. So there's outcomes here for sure that, where Dallas could get dominated at the line. Elliott could just come in and, if he looks even semi-decent, Jerry Jones will make the call down and just say, keep Zeke on. He won't do that. But, you get my drift.
Oh, he might.
He actually might. Yeah, if there's anyone who would. So there's scenarios there for Pollard. I like Tony Pollard. Everyone wants to see more Tony Pollard. He could rip off 10 carries for 80 yards and, I'd look like an idiot. And it wouldn't shock me at all. But, we have this projected fairly high up for an under. And like I said, I think the circumstances and just the fact that Zeke is that snap share has been just going in his direction kind of. And Pollard was injured two games ago too. So lots of different things going on, but I think that the under is going to be a nice contrarian option. Cause I think people will just say that's too low, even though it's still a decent number. He's got to get over 50 yards. He's got to break. He's going to have to break off a couple big runs. If he doesn't do that, you're probably not going to get there in volume. So.
All right. We finally, with a few minutes left in the show, we disagree because I'm smashing this over for Tony Pollard. And I might even start a contrarian tournament winning lineup with a high value over for Tony Pollard. Yes, I know what the tools say. And if you just give Tony Pollard the standard 3 yards per carry with the expected 12.5 rushes that we have projected for him today, he's not really going to get close to that 57.5 number. But one metric I love to look at, especially with this much of a sample size of the season, is true yards per carry, which tamps down breakaway runs, but still gives credit for first down and successful runs to these efficient running backs. And his true yards per carry is 4.7 this year. If you multiply that by our projected volume for him, you get to 58 yards. So yes, as you said, he needs efficiency, but this is the type of efficiency that Pollard has shown all year. And just regular yards per carry, that old statistic, he's up over 5. No one in the game is other than him is over 4. The only other player we really have to worry about, obviously, Rashad White has some interesting props on the versus the house mode, but
yeah,
let's close things out with Leonard Fournette, who has a reasonably modest 49.5 yard prop line. I personally think that this team leans on Leonard Fournette, especially if they are in the game script where they are up by a touchdown or more.
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, a lot of these props, if we just don't have as strong projections on as we did in other games, and it feels like you can make moves here. So 49.5, I would feel more confident about the Fournette under than I would have the Pollard under. I'm not going to lie, but again, if you wanted to tell me, Jeff, like I'm playing for like a Tampa Bay win here and Fournette's going to get to the over, I could see it. I'm just not sure how you'd play a Fournette over with the rest of your stack. Like, would you then take a Brady under or like a Dak over? I guess that's what like would get me, but you could just play all the overs too and play for a higher scoring game. But I think that the Fournette under is, again, pretty reasonable. I kind of agree with you. Like, I think you'll see a lot of Leonard Fournette in this game. It's the playoffs. White's look pretty good. He does seem to have like the confidence, but I mean, if Rashad White got like 5 touches tonight and Fournette took like 25, I would not be shocked at all. So it's a little bit of a scary line. Maybe the way to play the Fournette rushing yards is honestly just to leave it out, because it feels like a lot of the field will be on the under. If you don't use it, you don't lose if it goes over. And you know, you could obviously make the huge contrarian call to go over as well. It's only 49 yards. Again, you know, we don't need that much. If he's going to get 20 carries or, you know, six, even 16, we could get there. So, but one way to think about it, maybe just to leave it out. My biggest concern with that is just how it would flow with the rest of a build, taking a Fournette over. I guess that'd be the only thing I struggle with.
And when he says how it would flow, he's meaning that making somewhat considering correlations about players. If one player does well, like a running back, how does that take away from other players? Now, obviously, two players can each achieve ceiling performances, but you want your lineup to tell a story to an extent. And that's exactly what you're saying there. Leonard Fournette has the highest probability prop bet in the Pick'em contest right now on our NHA tools. That may change by the time kickoff happens, but right now, under 49.5 yards hits in 79% of our simulations. So I love that strategy where if you want to be contrarian, just leave this out. Go with the passing attacks. That makes sense. But let's not get it twisted. This is one of the lock plays that we have on our tools if you're just going for optimal lineups. And by the way, guys, not only do we have NHA projections, but we have an NHA optimal lineup tool right now where it shows you the way our lineups would be built based on our simulations. We've got tons of options for you, and you can even upload it to the site as well. Just a fantastic site, as I said, intuitive, user-friendly, fun to play. And you can get some extra money by clicking the link in the video description below and getting a first match deposit bonus up to $100. We are at 4 p.m., but I want to ask you just what you think the final score is of this one. Just rapid fire before we get out of here, and I'll give you my pick as well.
I'm going to say 27-24. I really don't want to pick a team. I'm going to say 27-24 Cowboys. I think the Dak and the Cowboys will show up and get this one playoff win, and then, you know, next week they'll be terrible. But yeah, so I'll go with that. Higher scoring Bucks, game, Cowboys.
Okay, Bucks over a touchdown they win by today. I think Dallas and Jerry Jones ends up beat red answering all the questions he doesn't want to answer about this Cowboys team.
Here's a quick question for you. Did they think they fire Mike McCarthy if they lose like badly like that?
No, but they probably should. Not. This has been a fun one, Jeff. Follow him at The Fantasy Grind. You can follow me at Draftaholic. Thanks so much to producer Jordan behind the glass. Let's enjoy this last game of Wild Card Weekend. And as I said, possibly the GOAT's last game. For all of us at Stochastic, have a great Monday. Let's win some money.